Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Colossians chapter 3, there is a supplement for today. If you didn't get it from the back, our focus this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, will be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. One of the premier scriptures in the New Testament used to understand God's order. That's what we're studying. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1, is God's order. Now that I have been made complete in Christ, I belong to His kingdom, His culture. And He has an order for all of us to function in. Though it seems it's human, it's really spiritual. We saw in chapter 3, verse 18, the command concerning wives. Wives, be submitting. That is a present imperative. Be continually submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper in the Lord. Again, this is something to be done as it is proper in the Lord. In the world and the culture in which we live, our culture says it's not proper for wives to be submitting to their own husbands. But it is in God's culture, and it is in His order, in His kingdom. We saw from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives are to be submitting to their husbands. Ephesians 5, 24 says, to be submitting in everything. We saw the purpose for this command, and the purpose for which this command is based upon is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told Eve, the woman, that her desire in her sin nature would be to overtake her husband, take control and authority. But God says, He shall rule over you. Therefore, Paul said, secondly, we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, as Paul says, God's order is God over Christ, Christ over the man, man over woman. Not because they are not equal, not because of inferiority, but because of God's order, because of sin. And so last week we studied about the word submission. The word submission is a military term, hupotasso, and it means to be in an orderly relationship. When it comes to Christians, Christian women who have Christian husbands, they are to obey their husbands or submit to their husbands in everything. But we saw last week from 1 Peter chapter 3, if a woman is married to a non-believer, it says she is to submit to her husband. But again, it shows exactly how that word is developed in its application, in that she is to submit to the Lord in everything that she does, but in relationship to her husband. He's still in God's designed plan to be the head of the household, he's just not saved. So she is to live out her relationship with Christ in front of her unsaved husband without taking his place, because that's out of order. But at the same time, she is to submit to the Lord in everything. We saw in Romans chapter 13, a good example of that, of Paul when he says, be submissive to the government authorities. And how this word submission works in Acts chapter 5, when they called the disciples in and the non-believing government officials commanded the disciples not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And they said to them, we must obey God rather than man. That's submission. That is to say, we submit until you command me to violate God's word or command me to sin. When it comes to that, I must obey God rather than man. That's submission. But we take all of that, the reason for submission, the reason for the order of God, we find that order now applied to the church and the ministry in the church. There is no more hotter topic for the role of men and women in the church than 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, especially verses 12 to 15, about women teaching in the church. We included verses 9 through 11 because it will have some basis for next week's study, but also in order to give information as to what this is talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, he talked to the men how they are to pray and lead the prayer in God's assembly of God's people, because that's what they were appointed to do. But in verses 9 to 11, he tells about women. Likewise also the women are to arrange themselves in orderly clothing with modesty and sober-mindedness. So their dress, the way they dress, is supposed to be orderly. What does that mean? Modestly and sober-minded, that is, in one's thinking. We'll see here both here and next week that women would go to church and they would try to dress seductively in order to get people's attention. He says, not in braiding of hair. It doesn't mean you can't braid your hair. You have to understand that women, and back when I was in high school, I checked this out the other day, high school yearbooks, where girls used to put their hair up in a beehive, it used to be called. This big, huge thing that it looked like a volcano. At the time, I didn't think about volcano. But basically, when I look at it nowadays, it's like, wow, she's going to explode any minute. She's got this big. But wrapping the hair up and then putting weave jewels in that braided hair. That's what the women used to do. And then prayed off to church and act like nothing's wrong, you know? What? Why is everybody staring at me? You know. So they dress modestly, sober-mindedness. Not in the braiding of hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothing. Tone it down. When we assemble together, it's not to attract people to what we're wearing. Verse 10, but what is proper for women who are professing reverence of God? Well, if you respect God and you reverence Him, then it ought to show in the way you dress. And this is to be done through good works. And the word good is the word agathos. not just human works, but through your spiritual, the expression of your spiritual relationship and your reverence towards God. Let a woman learn in quietness, in all subjection. Some English texts say in silence. We have translated quietness because it has nothing to do with speaking or non-speaking. It has to do with a quiet or undisturbed disposition. In other words, he anticipates there being some kind of reaction like, okay, I'll do it, and then sitting there with a very disquieted spirit. So the disposition is to be in subjection. That's what it says, in all subjection. Notice it's not submission, it's subjection. Hupotasso is submission, hupotage is subjection. What's the difference? Subjection is you're forced to do it, you're commanded to do it. Is submission also a command? Yes, it is, but it's supposed to come out of your heart. So in all subjection, you're subjected to this. So let a woman learn in quietness, an undisturbed spirit. He says in verse 12, and of course all of that's leading up to verses 12 to 15, because Paul knew this would be like a bomb dropped right in the middle of them. It's like it is today. He says, and I do not permit a woman to teach, nor to exercise authority of man. There's no word over, no authority over man. That's not what the Greek text says. In fact, the word authority is authentein. Authenteo is where we get our English word authentic from. The original intent or authenticity of man. She is not to take the man's role. Has nothing to do with teaching men. In fact, it's two things. She is not to teach in the church, and she is not to exercise the authority that's been given to man. Remember what we said back in Genesis 3:16. God says, your sin nature is going to cause you to want to take over your husband, take over his authority and authority over him. But he shall rule over you. But she is to be in quietness, an undisturbed spirit about the whole thing. Now, there are many people who oppose just the literal reading and meaning of the text. Some people say, well, Paul, like all the men in his day, were against women. And so we as a society, we have evolved to a better understanding of men and women have more of an equality today than in Paul's day, so this scripture doesn't apply. Others say, well, what about Titus, the book of Titus, a pastor? And Paul told him in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, that older women are to teach the younger women. So what about that? Well, the older women, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the older women are to have a lifestyle to the point that they are able to be teachers of good things. It's all one Greek word in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Kalos didaskalia. Kalos is the good, and didaskalia is the word for teaching. And by the way, that's the only place in Titus chapter 2 for women where the word teaching is found. And it's the teaching of kalos, human good, not spiritual good. She's not a teacher of spiritual things. She's a teacher of human things. Well, what does that mean? Well, it goes on to say that she is, in order that they may teach the younger women. See, older women take younger women and they teach them. Notice what it says in Titus 2:4, that they may teach the younger women. The word teach is not in any Greek texts. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4. It's one Greek word that has to do with restoring someone back to sensible or sane thinking. There's no word teaching in there. The translators used it to say, well, they're supposed to train them to be thinking soberly, sensibly, not crazy, crazy ideas. So that they might teach or train young women or restore young women to do what? To love their husbands, to love their children. See, these are not doctrinal issues. These are domestic human issues. The word for love, for love for husbands and love for children, means a friendly disposition toward the husband and a friendly disposition toward the children. Titus 2:5, to be keepers at home. They are to run the home and stay home. They are to be submitting to their own husbands. See, all of these things, and this is a ministry that's really lacking in the body of Christ, is older women that have grown in the Lord to the place that they're older and they can take younger women and teach them to stay home. Don't tell me all your complaints about your husband and all your complaints about your kids. Let's correct that. And be in submission. Those are not doctrinal issues. Those are human domestic issues. And older women are to teach the younger. Has nothing to do with Scripture. Has nothing to do with teaching Bible studies. Because Paul clearly says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach nor to exercise the authenticity of man. Why? Because of what we've just studied. Sin nature. Sin nature causes both men and women to be out of order. So God is putting his order down, saying, this is my order. Your sin nature isn't going to like it, but that's why I have this order. So your sin nature is brought under control. Here are the reasons why he does not permit a woman to teach. Verse 13, for Adam was formed first, and then afterward Eve was. Oh, now it's who was there first. Well, I see how this is going to work. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it describes for us how woman was taken from out of man. And that Paul relates all this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. 1 Corinthians 11, 7 to 12. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11, it's talking about the veil over the head. A woman is to have the veil on the head because the prostitutes were outside the temple with shaved heads, and that advertises that they were prostitutes. And so Paul says, your veil, which is your long hair, is your symbol when you go for fellowship that you are in submission to God's order. 1 Corinthians 11, 7, for indeed it is not necessary for a man to have his head covered, he being the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. He's the image and glory of God. She is the glory of man. For man is not from out of woman, but the woman is from out of the man. You remember God caused sleep to come over Adam, and God took one of his ribs and used that to form woman. Woman was from out of man. For also man was not created on account of the woman, but the woman was created on account of the man. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says it's not good for man to be alone. So I will create a helper to assist him and to be with him. On account of this, it is necessary for the woman to have authority upon the head on account of the angels. The angels are watching. He says it's not only angels, but people need to see your expression of submission to God's order. Nevertheless, neither is man apart or separated from woman, nor woman apart or separated from the man in the Lord. Man and woman are one. For as indeed the woman is from out of man, this way also man comes through woman. He's born from through the woman. But all things are from out of God. So when Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:13, Adam was formed first and then afterwards Eve. She came from out of him. He didn't come from out of her. She was created for him and on account of him as God's gift to him. And secondly, look at verse 14. And Adam was not deceived. Well, what a statement that is. Well, Adam knew what he was doing. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, after having been deceived, has become in transgression. So the woman was deceived. In fact, some Greek texts say thoroughly deceived by Satan. You remember Genesis chapter 3, where Satan got the woman alone, and he asks her a question. Did God say that you're not to eat from all of the trees of the garden? This one tree, we're not to eat the fruit. In fact, we're not even supposed to touch it. She adds a little to it to show it, to emphasize the importance of what God says. But what does Satan do when he comes back? He says, did God say that? You got to be kidding. You know why you think God said that? Because if you obey God, he's going to limit you. He's going to know that if you eat from the fruit of that tree, it's going to open your eyes and you're going to be like God. You're going to know everything that God knows. He's actually keeping you from your fullest potential. So she goes, oh, I can see that now. Do you see that? The deception about the scripture comes the same way. Did God say in his word that a woman is not to teach nor to have the authority of man? Did God say that? Come on. It's like Reverend Ike from many, many years ago that would be on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and he comes on with his $2,000 suit and all of his golden rings, and he's a prosperity preacher, and so Johnny Carson asked him, what about in the Bible where it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil? Reverend Ike says, the love for money? No, that's not what it means. It means the lack of money is the root of all evil. And everybody, oh, yeah, that's more like it. That fits right in. Did God say the love for money? Did God say that? Do you know how much money God is keeping you from making if you believe that and follow that? God's keeping you from your fullest potential. God couldn't mean that because it goes against equality. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. doesn't leave him off the hook. The woman was thoroughly deceived. And after she's deceived, she became in the transgression. And this principle applies, verse 14 applies to all situations. For instance, people will come and take 1 Timothy 2:12 and say, do not permit a woman to teach or have the authority of man. That is to say, she can't teach men, but she can teach women. First of all, it doesn't say that. She can't teach, period, in the church. Nor to have the authority of man, because God raised man up to be the teacher. Now, any variance of that, verse 14 fits in, because if somebody says, well, she can't teach men because then she's out of order, but she can teach women. Verse 14 still applies. The only reason why she can't teach is because she is thoroughly deceived. Is she any less deceived if she's teaching women? No, she's still thoroughly deceived. I want to make a statement to you. I'm not asking you to believe it, but take it for what it's worth. Just put it in the back of your mind and say, well, that's interesting. I've been in ministry for 47 years. All of the major women teachers of the Bible that we have in America, I've heard them all. I'm sure there's some new ones on the scene, but I've listened to them all. I've read their books. They make some true statements here and there, but not one of them is telling the truth about what the Bible teaches. Not one. Zero. It always has some kind of emotional or sympathetic thing or I got an email this week. It says, talking about women, this is really great. A woman's writing. She says, well, we have our women's Bible study. Right away, it's like, okay, here we go. I know it's coming. We need more women to teach other women of how to experience and express their spiritual gift. Some women show up with their Bibles and they just sit there and they don't do anything and say anything. We need to take these women and show them that if they're saved, they have, God's given you a gift. You have to take it and you have to develop it and you have to express it and you have to, you know, move with it and minister. It's like just the opposite of what God's Word says. But it flows along with the cultural message of equality we have. We'll see even next week. God says, even Paul in his writings, he will say, men and women are equal. Just have different functions. How many men do you know? How many men do you know that absolutely refuse to follow the Lord because he chose women to bear children and I can't bear children? And I can hear the women going, yeah, go ahead, buddy. After a few, you can try it, okay? Yeah. That's just their function. And God gives them the nurturing, the mother nurturing that kids need. And he makes a man to function a certain way. So now what do we have? Transgender. We've got Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, who is still physically a man but dresses like a woman, and we're supposed to accept him, her, as a woman just because he thinks he's a woman. But another woman who identifies as being black, they find out she's really not black. Both her parents are white. She's not black at all. She put makeup on. All these years she's been fooling people. So what do? They call her to step down from her position because she lied. And by the way, Bruce Jenner is up to get the Courageous Award at one of the music awards coming up. He above combat troops and all the people in America who deserve some type of award for courage, he gets the Courage Award for coming public about being a woman, but he's really a man. Nobody ever asks. I don't want to get personal here, but when you were you born male or female? Which one? Male. Huh. Then there's nothing wrong. So biologically, you're a male. What's wrong is something up here, right? Yeah, I guess you haven't noticed. You are male. So if you think you're female, it's your thinking that's the problem, not your biological, how you were born, male or female. No, but let's give them the Courage Award. See, the roles of men and women, how we are to function, is just all messed up. And this week they announced in Oregon beginning at the age of 15 that young people can have gender changes through Medicare without parents' permission. You can change your gender. No matter what situation men and women are in, verse 14 says, she was deceived and came to her husband, you can read it in Genesis chapter 3, came to Adam to eat. He knew he was disobeying God. She didn't. And God said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife instead of to me, and then he gave Adam the penalty and punishment for his sin. And to the woman, he says, you now, out of your sin nature, are going to try to take the authority and control over Adam. But in my order, he's going to rule over you because of your sin nature, trying to take over for God. But he says in verse 15, but she will be preserved. The word preserved is the word for salvation. That is, her salvation is going to be worked out through the childbearing process if they should remain in faith and agape love and sanctification with sober-mindedness. In other words, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, you remember what God told the woman. He said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your labor pain and your pregnancy. You shall bear sons in pain, and your desire shall be toward your husband. And that word desire, tishucha in Hebrew, means to take control of. You will desire to take control of your husband, and he shall rule over you. So he says, it's the childbearing process that you learn the pain of sin. That you learn the sacrifice of the giving up of yourself. What it means to sacrifice for other people, for other lives, namely your children. Your salvation is worked out if you submit to this process. If you don't submit to the process, if you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to submit to God's childbearing, rearing process. If you don't remain under in that process, then the protection and the control over the sin nature is out the window. The reason why we're studying this scripture this morning is because this is the premier scripture that is attacked even in the church today, because our culture will not let this be the truth. Because our culture says, well, that's not fair. There's many gifted women who can teach. And like I've told you before, yes, there are. But there's some women that are better speakers and better teachers in their presentation than men are, as far as Scripture goes. The problem that I have found is none of them are correct about what the Bible's saying. But they're very charismatic and very, very persuasive. Unless you're listening. I'll close with this. One woman was on TV, had an entire auditorium, two decks full of people. It almost looked like the place in Houston, Joel Osteen's church, but it was a woman who was given a special message. And she read this text, and then mostly women in the audience. It was a woman's seminar, and she was teaching. And she said, now, people use this text to show that women should not teach or have the authority over men. But I want to show you from Scripture that that interpretation is wrong. Of course, my ears are perked up. Like, oh, this is going to be good. And she said, after Jesus rose from the dead, who was the first person that he spoke to and revealed himself to? A woman. I'm like, yeah? And what does that mean? You know what? And the women just erupted. Yes! There, it just goes to show you why believing this text is wrong. Yeah, revealed himself to a woman. Yeah, what's wrong with that? As the camera panned around, women were just, you know, clapping. They had their pens and pencils and were writing. Were so happy and nudging each other, you know. But they did come across one. And it's just, of course, those are the people that I get impressed with. They went across one woman, and she was sitting there, and she was going. She had this look on her face like, are you kidding? What? How do you connect the dots there? You know, that's what I mean about deception. That's what I mean about deception. Just like a woman would probably say, if a man wants to bear children, go right ahead. You go through all the pain and go through all the things. If that's your thing, sure, go ahead, go for it. Any man in the Lord that understands what's at stake here does not want to be in the position of responsibility of teaching God's word. Because nobody has to answer except for him to God. Why would anybody want that? That kind of responsibility. I even know of international teachers who say, I am not a teacher because I do not want the responsibility. I'm only sharing with you what I'm learning from God's word. So he's not responsible. Except that he's got thousands of people following his teaching. If you're teaching, you're teaching. You're a teacher. We'll finish up next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in all of this as we seemingly harshly, bluntly study the facts and study the reasons why. Help us to see that there is equality between men and women, just different functions and responsibilities, especially in the church. That not only are our gender functions different, but our sin natures are different too. Our sin natures reach out to fulfill different things. Help us to understand the purpose behind it all, the reason behind it all, and the function and responsibility that we have as both men and women to function in God's order for God's testimony. For as Paul shares in Ephesians chapter 5, that the marriage relationship was created by God to be an example and a testimony of the relationship between Christ and his church. the husband being the representative of Christ and the woman being representative of the church. Help us to understand that we have a ministry and a testimony just in submitting to the Lord and functioning under the guidance of the Lord's Spirit instead of our own human desires and sin nature. We pray by your Spirit you would teach us the exactness of the facts of these things and teach us and change us to be that quiet spirit, that quiet disposition, that submissive, only wanting what the Lord wants, no matter what it costs us. After all, that's what it's all about. Jesus asks us to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.